Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part two of the Stompcast. We're now back on firm ground now, aren't we? We're stomping on solid ground.
Feels good.
It does feel good, but I enjoyed the off-piste as well, which is funny. I'm going skiing on Sunday and I'm very much not going to be doing any off-pisting. Do you ski?
No, I don't.
I like to just kind of stay on a gentle blue or red. I'm really just like, I've been getting my outfit together. It's been more about the outfit than it is about the...
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Technicalities, I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying this conversation. And I thought we'd delve into a slightly different direction. We talked a little bit about self-care, although that is tied into what we're going to talk about. But let's talk about, you know, mental health and mental illness and going through difficult times, because the story of why you started your brand ties quite heavily into this. So I wonder if you could share it.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot to tell, but the long and short of it is during the pandemic when I was really developing the brand, which is a body care, bath, wellness sort of brand. I was super depressed. I was living alone. I had just adopted my little doggie, who is very well adjusted now, but at the time she wouldn't make eye contact with me. She was like not eating in the same room as me. I have never felt so lonely. I couldn't go home to see my family to ground. And I just sort of thought, what am I doing? What is my purpose? Where do I belong? It was a really difficult time. Just went through a savage breakup. You know, it was a dark time for me. And really, some days, the only thing I could muster the energy for was to have a bath. And I really found solace in that bathtub. I honestly think if I didn't have that bath, I don't know how I would have got through that time, because it's so comforting, warm water, the beautiful smells of the oils. Oh my God, I'm almost salivating over it right now.
You're smiling away. You just want to be out of this, off this walking in a bathtub, don't you?
It's just like warms you from the inside.
Yeah,
I just
so nice.
Felt so, it was almost like a hug.
Yeah.
And so that's why I developed the brand. And for me, baths have always been part of my self-care toolkit, I guess you could say.
And so off the back of that experience, you're like, right, I'm going to start this brand, and I'm going to start this kind of self-care side of things. And that is obviously really important, but sometimes we do need more help than that, don't
yes.
we? And sometimes things do get to the point where perhaps it's not just a difficult time in terms of, okay, I'm having a bad day, but perhaps it's mental illness, or perhaps there's something that needs support or diagnosing. And, you know, I started Post Your Pill a good couple of years ago because I felt people were really ashamed and stigmatized taking medication. So I had that pill in my hand, took a photo, and that's how it all started. So talk to me about your experiences with mental health and mental illness, I guess.
Yep.
And how do you kind of navigate things like stigma? Do you feel that anymore? Do you worry about those things?
You know what? Let's just take it back, okay? I've always struggled with my mental health. From as young as like 6 years old, I remember feeling depressed and low, which sounds kind of wild when you hear it, but I always felt different. I didn't know why. I wasn't like the rest of my friends. I would have days where I would just want to like stay home. I didn't want to be social. I've always sort of been someone that kept to themselves. I'm most comfortable alone, okay? Which is the opposite, I feel like, to most people. And so I've always sort of had like these inner, I wouldn't call them demons, but like this inner sort of darkness, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then when I became a teenager, I really started to develop social anxiety, which no one knew what that was or spoke about that. In fact, I remember telling my mom, I think I have social anxiety, like going to school stresses me out. And she was like, everyone gets stressed about going to school, like get over it kind of thing. which she's since apologized for, and she thinks it ruined my childhood, which it didn't. But it just wasn't spoken about. And it was such a difficult time. And I remember having panic attacks, not knowing what they were, and just like dealing with it and feeling like I was the only one going through this, you know? It was such a different way to experience it than I feel like maybe people experience it now. I hope no one feels that way or feels like they're the only person that goes through that. And then cut to my 20s. Just moved to England, new place, didn't have a lot of friends. That's when the depression sort of really kicked in. Just feeling so lost, alone, low. And that's when I started taking medication for my anxiety and depression. I never felt any which way about it, to be honest. I just wanted help, and it changed my life. So I actually get really frustrated when I hear people talk about medication like it's a bad thing, because for me it's the reason I am who I am today, and without it I definitely wouldn't be able to do this job.
Well, I say that when I took surgery, the time I took it definitely saved my life. I was in dire straits. It was a very, very bad time, and I don't know if I'd have made it through. I'm not on that medication now, but my God, I'm so glad for it, because otherwise I just don't know how I'd have done it. My psychiatrist at the time was saying it's kind of like you're a house of cards, and you know what, you know, one card falls out and the whole thing's going to come down. And thankfully the medication gave a bit more stability to
for
that
sure.
house of cards that I needed to get through.
Just lets you catch your breath for a minute. And I mean, I'm still on it. Mm-hmm. I want to be on it forever because I just feel like I need it. Maybe not, I don't know, but that's how I feel right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, I...
Well, I came off it because I really specifically wanted to deal with certain things around grief that I felt that perhaps my dose maybe was a little bit on the higher side, and I wanted to deal with this stuff, but really very open-mindedly be like, I'll go back on. And in my head I was like, if I come off this and this doesn't work or whatever, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to stay on. And I was like actually really at peace with that, which I'm really glad about, because I've heard people say that they've come off and then felt a real sense of failure, or that's it, I'm such a whatever because I haven't. And I think that's, I don't agree with that, actually, to be honest. I understand why people feel that way, but...
Sure, it's like a natural feeling.
Yeah, I get it, but yeah, I actually felt quite at peace with that. I didn't feel that pressure around it.
Yeah.
However, I did when I first started taking the medication. I was like, is this where I've got to?
Yeah,
Yeah, well, I made this spoken word track called The Dreaded Pill, and that was literally like the whole start of it is like about that feeling of like, oh, man... Is this where I'm at? You know what I mean? Which is actually really sad, because you really need help at that time. You don't need to be beating yourself up more, do you?
To be honest, like every morning when I take my pill, I do have a minute with myself where I'm like, do you need this? and I can't really help it, but I just kind of get over it. But I do love that you talk so openly about it, because I think men's mental health is something that more people need to be talking about. And I have so many men in my life that have... They've just hit such a low point and they feel like there's nowhere to turn. And it's so hard to watch. It's really sad.
Do you feel that it's quite different then between men and women? Like, with say your friends or people you've known in life, do you think that women would go and get help, whether that's medication, therapy? Do you think that's something they do sooner?
I think so. I don't know if that's like true, but in my experience with my friendship group and family, yeah, I think it's a bit of a longer thought process probably for a guy, and there's a bit of shame there, and it's really sad.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's sad because even so, on both sides of things, on whether you're talking about mental fitness and the mental health side of building like mental fitness or about getting treatment or help, men just feel so much more stigma. It's why I started Metal, which many of you listening will have heard of before, with Bear Grylls and Paul McKenna, all these amazing like academics as well, just really passionate about like trying to get men to have something that's built for them, to engage them. And I think in terms of mental illness, which is not the app's built for, it's about fitness, although obviously we know that building your mental fitness will help. On the other side of the coin, it feels like we do have to be a bit more bespoke for men.
I think there is more
conversation about like gender-specific support is quite important. It's kind of like, quite rightly, how there's lots of really great campaigners who are talking about like women-specific experiences around menstrual cycle and so on, which is great. And like, I do think that gender-specific support is actually, it's actually quite important, because otherwise you're ignoring barriers, I think, or ignoring parts of it that you actually shouldn't.
Agree.
It's almost like the elephant in the room that you don't address.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, if men can talk about these things, they're going to be better able to support the women in their lives. And one thing I think is interesting too is when people have babies, the way that men can also get, what's it called? Postnatal depression.
Yes, exactly.
Which I've never heard of that before, but I've seen that amongst my friends.
It's never talked about.
That the men, they go through a loop after that.
There's like a secondary experience almost off the back of the child being born. And I had my best friend Adam on the Stompcast quite a few months ago now. We were actually in New York, and we spoke about what it's like to be a dad. And I think he wasn't saying this, he's experiencing entirely, but we were talking about the fact that some men can, dads can definitely feel like they're a little bit helpless. It's like so much stuff the mum has to do or does, and it's kind of like you feel a bit like, I don't know how to fix this or do this or help. And I think you can feel a bit, spare part's the wrong word, but do you know what I mean? It's like, what do I do here? And you're trying to be, and also society's telling you that you're the dad, you should be really tough and really strong about it, and that doesn't help, does it, really?
No, it doesn't. And there's nothing worse in this life than feeling useless.
No, that's very true.
I hate that feeling.
Lack of purpose is, and knowing what's needed of you right now is a challenge. So I think going back to that point then, of kind of, so if someone's listening to this now and maybe they are thinking, I can relate to that kind of feeling of a bit of darkness, or that feeling of that word darkness is a very powerful word. I think anyone that's been through that knows exactly what you mean when you say that inner darkness. What would you say to someone that's listening, thinking, "Oh, do you know what? I'm trying to drag myself through. Do I go and get help? What do I do, man?
It is so hard, because depending on where you're at, the thought of getting help, whatever that is, whether it's going to see a therapist or talking to a friend, just feels like the biggest mountain to climb. So it's so hard to say go get help, because that just might not seem like an option. I've experienced that before, but I think the best thing you can do is talk to someone about it, though. I mean, do not suffer in silence. I know that's like a phrase for a reason. But as soon as you sort of just tell anybody, even if it's a stranger on the street, you know, I'm feeling really low, I feel like there's something powerful about verbalizing it. And then you can actually start to kind of work through the deeper layers. But it can really feel like the biggest task. You know, sometimes when you look at your to-do list and you don't even know where to start, it's a bit like that.
And also, I think almost thinking a little bit what you were saying, both saying earlier, like with that inner voice and inner critic stuff, is that so much stuff that is depression or is actually illness speaking. We get really confused about what's us and what's it. So if I know if my mood is low, often the inner critic becomes really loud.
Sure.
And you can often confuse that with just like, oh, I'm just thinking about things and da da da. But actually, that's actually the illness that's coming through. It's not
which is
very confusing.
So, yeah, it's so confusing because it's you.
What's me?
But it's not you.
Yeah.
Who is that in there?
And when your mood raises, all of a sudden, that voice dissipates, or the weight of that voice goes because you're able to rationalise and go, "Oh, I'm just talking nonsense now." But when you're in that place, you can't. So, I think there's something around that.
Another really good thing, and this is so annoying to hear, especially when you're kind of in the middle of it, getting outside, it really helps.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. It's the last thing you want to hear. But I always feel like it just sort of makes you feel part of the world. When you just like stay in your flat and order Deliveroo and whatever, that becomes your world. And I think sometimes when you get outside,
it closes in.
Yes, it does.
It really does. You know, just everything comes in. You go, everyone, I hope, you know, you understand that, why I say this is that the podcast, the reason I started this was quite literally to get me outside.
Wow.
And get me in nature for my mind and my body. And I really hope that I could get a lot of other people out doing it as well. And I mean that is as plain as I can say it. I just like think that being outside is great for you. So if people are listening to this while you are walking, I really hope that is getting some people that are maybe in a difficult place right now outside and just feeling about 10% more grounded than perhaps they did before.
Totally. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, ideally it's in nature, but even if you live in a city, even that helps just to feel the breeze.
Yeah.
You know, it just puts things in perspective. It makes your problems feel a little less huge.
And I think also that word sonder, which I keep saying, but I love, you know, to be able to look at other people and realize that, you know, there's just stuff going on in other people's lives.
True.
And it's just like, okay, I'm not like, my life isn't terrible, or I'm not an absolute failure, or I'm not, you know, I might be feeling bad, but, you know, there are other things going on. And I think that is actually in some way comforting as well. Just an awareness of other lives and other narratives that are going on. It's not just your own, because the cruelty of depression, I think, in many ways, is that it makes you so focused about your own stuff.
Yeah.
And then you realise, oh my God, this is actually, do you know what? There are bigger problems out there. That's not minimising your experience in any way, shape, or form. It's negating the cruelty of that inner critic that goes, you're rubbish all the time. Well, actually, you're not that rubbish. Look at the world going around. Look what's going on. You're doing all right. You're doing your best.
I know. It's hard to think that sometimes, but it's true. I'm going to come back to this podcast and listen to it when I'm in the midst of a dark episode.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, I think this has definitely given me so much comfort. I've thought many times when I come on, done a walk with guests, and I feel that, you know, with you as well, is that I just feel so much better when I just walk and talk to someone. Some days I've come to podcast episodes, not talking about today, I'm actually fine, you know, today, but I've come on days when I felt really anxious, I felt really awful, I have felt really low, there's something really bad's been going on. And you just feel so much better just walking and talking with someone. Sometimes you just got to go on your own, and that's absolutely fine. But sometimes just going for a walk with someone, pick up the phone and call your mum or your friend or whatever.
That's my favourite. A phone call on a walk.
Who would you call?
My mum. I talk to her like 3 billion times
a day.
She's
your bestie.
She is my everything. She's my best friend.
And it's having that person that anchors you, makes you feel like, that lifts you. It's always good to have just even one person. If you know one person you call, and they can just lift you that little notch up. Maybe you're in that spot where you just don't feel great. And they just take you that one notch up. It just makes such a difference, doesn't it? And that can be the gear change you need in your day.
Yeah. And then you get back to your flat. And, you know, you might look at the mess around and think, okay, I might just tidy this up a little bit today. I don't know. I love walking. It's so good for you too, physically.
It's amazing. I mean, I've said it before, but, you know, I think, you know, if we all just could walk a little bit each day, I think we would genuinely live longer, healthier and happier lives. I think if everyone could walk just a bit, that'd be too far. But if you could do 20 minutes a day, 25 minutes a day, every day, I firmly believe that you would live longer and happier and healthier.
That's probably true.
I feel confident in that statement. It can be written down. I feel confident to stand by that statement. So as we come to the end of part two, then, I just want to ask you, just on this point, and I'm thinking about, we're both in our 30s, Life gives you perspective. This is an odd question in a way, in some ways, but do you find it easier to get through difficult times now than you did when you were younger?
Yes.
And do you think do you think perspective has helped that?
First of all, experience helps it. I feel like I've been through some things that I truly feel like throw anything at me.
Yeah.
Let's see how I tackle it. I mean, hopefully I don't get too many things.
Please don't throw anything
at me. No, right, please don't. But you know, you have experience getting through things and coming to the other side of it and being okay. Mm. But yeah, I think obviously age helps a lot. You know, I'm just like a lot more comfortable in my own skin. In my 20s, lordy, lordy, lordy. Oh, I don't want to think about it.
What would you say to 21-year-old Esther if you could go back to
21 now, was fine. 27? Really? That's a whole other ball game.
Okay, yeah, 27. Let's talk to 27-year-old. What would you say? Like, what message would you give?
I guess just that this, like, anxiety and uncertainty won't last forever. I think it was, like, a particularly tough time for me. I was, like, partying and, you know, doing whatever, but which, by the way, were some of the best times of my life. You know, there's nothing quite like fabric on a Sunday night, falling in love with someone on the dance floor. Yeah. But, you know, it's that also comes with like so much anxiety and all of these other things. But yeah, I guess I would just say it doesn't last forever. And that's with any feeling, good feelings, bad feelings, nothing is forever. And I wish I would have known that at that time.
So in impermanence, there's comfort.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing lasts forever. I love that. We'll come to the end of part two with that note, I think. We'll see you all in part three very soon. We're going to talk about privacy and boundaries. And this is going to be a conversation for everyone, because whether you've got a public profile, whether you've got 1,000 followers, 500 followers, 100 followers, we're still all navigating how much we share in our lives. So let's all think about that. See you all in part three very soon. Goodbye.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.